At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off, and cast them from thee. Better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray? Doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of the little ones should perish. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Jesus tells us that he's in the midst of us. He tells us here that this thing is so serious, so great, so mighty, that if your hand be offensive to you, cut it off. Cut it off. Somebody would say, well, he's speaking spiritually. He always spoke spiritually. He always spoke spiritually. When he said to Peter and them, I'm going to Calvary and they're going to take my life. He was speaking spiritually, but they took his life. Somebody said, well, I don't think he really meant for you to cut your hand off. Yes, he really meant for you to cut your hand off. He really meant for you to cut your hand off. He said, Andale, thine hand is offensive to thee, quack it off. He said, it's better for you to enter into life than it is to have all of your members and be cast into hell. That is to enter into life with one of your arms missing. Pluck out your eye. It's better that you enter into life with one eye missing than it is to go into the lake of fire. So then, what does he mean? It is better for you to enter into life, into this life. It's better for me to enter into this life, go through this life. He's not talking about the life to come. It's better that you enter into this life with one arm. It's better that you be a blind man. It's better that you don't have any arms. It's better that you be without your legs than it is to have your legs and eyes and then be cast into hell. So like I was telling my wife the other day, I said, well, Betty, I said, it's horrible to think about people being in prison and think about people being killed and people being mutilated. Everywhere you look, people are being mutilated. And we see the war and all these people being killed in the war and people's entrails just blown out, you know, and their brains scattered everywhere. I said, it's so horrible. And people that's put in prison, even for life, some going to the electric chair. I said, but just think, that is nothing compared to going to hell. I said, not anything at all. I said, God is suffering all these things that we might wake up before it's everlasting too late. Because once we go into the lake of fire, folks, that's it. There's no getting out of that. There's no starting over. That's eternally and forever. Once that comes, that's it. And it's so horrible. And that's why God is suffering all these other things. Though these things are horrible, and though God doesn't want our hands missing, and he doesn't want our eyes missing, he doesn't want us to go into prison, he doesn't want us to go to the electric chair, he doesn't want us to kill one another, he doesn't want war. The Bible said, from whence cometh those wars? Is it not from the lust that warreth in your members? So then he doesn't want those things. But it is better to have those things and enter into this life and the misery of those things than it is not to have those things and then go to hell. It's better that we learn a lesson. It's better that we understand. It's better that we're processed. It's better that God uses these things to awaken us with, to let us know the detriment of hell and the horribleness of being in the lake of fire. The Bible said, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Where the rich man looked up as to Abraham and said, send Lazarus just to dip his finger in just a little bit of water and cool my tongue. This is why he says here, forgive people. Don't hold grudges against people. Whatever people have done to you, forgive them. I've had some horrible things done to me in my lifetime, and I could be bitter. I could hate people. I could really hate people, but I don't hate anybody. They've never done anything so bad to me that I would want to see them burn in the flames of hell. And they've done some things so bad to me that if it wasn't for the love of God on the inside, I could literally strangle them to death. I could hang them up by a rope. I could stand and torment them for the rest of my life if I just wanted to do it, if I didn't have the love of God. But I don't have that kind of heart. I don't have that kind of feeling. I don't have that kind of desire. I don't have any enemies. All of my enemies I turned into my friends. Even as Jesus said to Judas, friend, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And as I often say, it wasn't because Judas was a friend to Christ, but he was a friend to Judas. And so he said, friend. And I've turned all of my enemies into my friends by giving the love of God, to love my enemies, to do good to them that despitefully use me, and pray for them that persecute me. And the Bible said, when people rise up against you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, that ye should be exceedingly glad, leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets before you. See, but if everybody's speaking well of you and saying something nice about you, the Bible said, beware of that man that everybody speaks well of. They did that about the false prophets. See, so when you're going through a little persecution, then you should be willing to go through that persecution. Like Jesus gave the parable to the disciples, said, and why do you speak to these people in parables, seeing that they understand not what you say? Then Jesus said, it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto you it is given. And then when they were alone with Jesus, they said, expound to us the parables. And so Jesus did. He would expound the parable. And as he gave the parable, he gave one parable, and he said, a sower went forth to sow, and he sowed seed, and some fell to the wayside. He said, some fell into stony places, and he said, some fell among thorns, and some fell into the good ground. He said, that fell by the wayside, he said, the fowls came along, and those fowls devoured it and took it away. And then he said, those that fell among the stones, he said, they didn't have much root. And when the sun came up, it scorched them, and they withered away. And then he said, as to those that come up among the thorns, he said, and the thorns choked the seed, and it didn't bring forth any fruit. And then he said, and some was sown in good ground, which brought forth 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And then when they asked him to expound, to interpret, to tell them what it was, he said, these that fell by the wayside, he said, this is the seed being sown, that people come and hear, and when they hear it, they don't understand it. They don't understand it. You know, I mentioned this the other night. People have a habit of saying, I don't understand that. That confuses me. Don't you know that that's the devil? When you talk like that, don't you know that you need to get born again? Somebody says, well, I'm a Christian, Brother Pike, but I just don't understand. No, that isn't right. If you was a Christian, you would understand. See, the reason you don't understand is because you're not a Christian, because the Bible said the righteous shall understand. Come on, folks. I said the Bible says that the righteous shall understand. How then can you say that you're born again and that you're righteous, even by the righteousness of Christ, and that you do not understand when the Bible said the righteous shall understand? See, are we to make the word of God a liar? And the Bible said, lie not against the truth. The Bible says the righteous shall understand. And what happens is we're not righteous. We're not born again. We've not got the Spirit of God in our heart. And therefore we have a problem, folks. That's where our problem comes in. See, because when we have the Spirit of God, He, on the inside of us, interprets what the preacher says. He interprets. You might not understand everything right off, but you'll have an understanding heart. Solomon prayed, Father, give me an understanding heart. And he said, with wisdom, get understanding. See, and so we have an understanding heart. That means that we do understand, and we may not understand as to the measure we would like to understand, but we do understand, and we're going on to understand more. A little child might not understand all the things that I say, but he understands what he understands. And that is, on his childish level, he understands because he has understanding. And as he grows more and more, he'll understand more. As he studies in school, he'll understand more. As he goes on to college and whatever, to a diplomacy of life, he'll understand more because it's given to him to understand and develop from the childhood into manhood. All right, so Jesus said, and these, as to those when the seed was sown by the wayside, the fowls got him. He said this was devils and demons that came and took the word out of the people's heart to the extent that they did not understand. He said, and these are the people of the world that do not understand. For the Bible said the wicked shall not understand. They shall not see when good cometh. And they cannot see because the Bible said Satan, even Lucifer, the god of this world, has blinded their eyes of understanding that they should not see when the good cometh. All right. There are those that fell among the stony ground. Said the sower went forth to sow, and he sowed. And some of this seed fell upon stony ground. He said it didn't take roots. It didn't have much root. And when the sun came up, it was burned, and it was done away with, and it brought forth no fruit. And then when the master said that and interpreted it, he said, and this is the seed that falls on stony hearts. Whereas God said, I'll take out of you the heart of stone and place within you a heart of flesh. Did you know the Bible teaches that everyone that's fallen from grace is under the law? And did you know that the law is that is engraven in stones? And even Israel that had this as to the understanding of the law. Did you know that the laws of today, even natural laws, that's by man that we're under this constraint of, that this is a derivative from the law as to the law of God, the law of Moses. You can check it out. Go back to the root of it and you'll find it came from there. I'll take out of you the heart of stone and place within you a heart of flesh. Write my laws upon the table of your heart and cause you to walk in my laws. That is to say, I'll take out the law as to the do's and don'ts and that hard-hearted thing that's engraven in stones as the letter that killeth unto death. And I'll place within you the heart of flesh. I'll make you bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And I'll make you to know the love of God, and the love of God will constrain you to walk in my ways. And so then he said it fell on stony ground and it didn't take any roots. And when he expounded this, when he interpreted this, when he brought the revelation as to this parable, he said, these are they that have stony hearts. These are they that when the word comes, as to the preacher preaching, with joy, anon with joy, they grab it up, they receive it, and they like that, and they make a fuss over it. He said, and they go along making a fuss over it for a little while, and by, he said, persecution arises. Tribulation comes, trouble happens, something confronts them. He said, and then they can't take it anymore. He said, and then they don't hold on to the word of God. They become offended and they turn away from the word of God because of the world, because of the things of the world, because the little pressures put on them. Then they fall away from God. Jesus said, these are they, when the word is sown, people anon with joy grab it up, but have no roots within themselves.
to endure. And when the heat of the day, after that pressure from Satan began to come down upon them, all of a sudden they fall away from God. They fall away from God. They don't have any roots. No roots of endurance, and so they fall away from God. So it was that that seed fell upon stony ground, and that seed perished, and there wasn't any fruit. As the Bible said, and I want you to bring forth fruit unto perfection. Our God tells us that we should love Him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. All right, God so loved the world, then He said, ye should love. For if you know that God is love, then he that loveth is of God. And he that loveth is passed from death unto life, because love is as strong as death. And Jesus said that we should love one another. Keep my commandments, he said. And my commandments are not grievous. My commandments is that you love one another. All right, so then there came the finishing of the parable. And they said, what about these that fell among the thorns? He said, and when the sower went forth to sow, and he threw the seed out there, and they fell among the thorns. He said, the thorns choked the seed, and then there wasn't any fruit brought forth to perfection. And they said, well, what is this? He said, this is the seed, this is the word. When the word goes forth, they've sown the word, the sower has went out to sow, he sowed the word, and the seed, as to the word, it fell among the thorns. He said, this that I tell you of the choking out of this fruit is those that are entangled with the things of the world. He said, this seed falls into the heart of people. He said, but they're so concerned about the things of the world. They're so concerned about the diplomacies of life and as to education, as to houses, as to lands, just enumerating now in detail in a little bit. And they're so concerned about securities. They're so concerned about self-esteem and so concerned about being a dignitary in life or being some kind of celebrity in life or finding their place in life. Or they're so concerned about all of the things of the world. Whereas the Bible said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father is not there. And he says to you and I, come out from the world, be a separate people, touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. He tells us in Zechariah in that day that we should serve him in righteousness. We should serve him in righteousness. As to Zechariah, when he said in righteousness and holiness, all the days of our life, as it was with Zacchaeus, when he said, half of my goods I'll give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man falsely, I'll restore it fourfold. See, he wants us to be in holiness and righteousness and serve him without fear all the days of our life. You know what the problem is? Folks is trying to serve God without a spirit. They're trying to serve God without a spirit. Have you ever stopped to consider what a problem it would be to an individual to try to be what they are without the spirit that they are born with? Even if they had a form of life. Could you imagine what a dog would be like trying to be a dog when he had an elephant spirit or when he didn't have a dog spirit? Could you imagine what a lion would be like if he did not have a lion spirit and he had some other kind of spirit? Could he then be like a lion if you did not have the nature of Jesus Christ? Could you then act like the Lord Jesus? The Bible said they were called Christians first at Antioch because they were Christ-like. Can I be Christ-like without the Spirit of God? This is why the Bible said, he that is born of God cannot sin, for God's seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. See, he says as to the teachings of John that this is the way that we tell the difference between the children of God and the children of the devil. They that are born of God do the things of God. They have the nature of God. They act like Christ. And they that do not have the Spirit of God, do not have the nature of God, and they do not act like Christ. They act like the world, and they act like the devil, and they do the things of the world, and they have the love of the world in them, because the Bible said, ye are of your father the devil. And the devil savors the things that be of the flesh. He loves the things of the world because he's the prince of this world, and this world belongs to him. At the present time, it's under the curse, and he's got control of it. He told Jesus, said, this is delivered into my hands to give to whomsoever I will. And if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give it to you. Or that is, he says to you, he says to me, he says to all of us, if you'll just follow me, he says, I'll give you all that you want in the flesh. All of the lasciviousness of life, you can live it up in the flesh. Whatever you want, you just have to sell your soul to me. You just have to give your soul to me. So then, these that choke the seed as to the thorns. The Bible said people that receive the word of God, they can't separate themselves from the world. They can't come out from the world and be ye a separate people. They can't get away from that fleshly lust, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. Where the Bible said, and the lust of the world passeth away. And the world passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So then we can see that if we are in that category, we are those that have our mind on being something in the world. Folks, let me tell you something. The gospel is profitable for this life and for the life to come. It's profitable for this world. It'll bring us health. It'll bring us prosperity. It'll bring us the blessings of life. But as I said to the people the other night, we've got to remember one thing. Though I can have all things, and all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things don't edify. I don't need all things, because a lot of those things are nothing but chains and weights that drag and cause me to fail God. And Paul said, laying aside every weight that does so easily beset you, to run with patience the race that is set before you. And since these things do not edify, since these things are not expedient as to expedite the cause of God, then you need to leave them alone. You know, I have a lot of folks that say, well, I don't see anything wrong with the things that I do. And they begin to go back to the tire of life and the things that they like and the things that they want to do and all of the securities of life and all of the frolics of life. And they say, well, I just don't feel like God finds any fault with that. And I feel like I can get to heaven doing this. And if you don't, that's between you and God, but I don't feel any condemnation. You know, I say this again, real reverent like, the reason you don't feel any condemnation is because you've never been born again, some of you, and nothing bothers you. And on the other hand, you that have had some sort of an experience with God, never having been born again, you have come into a believing, but you have seared your conscience with a hot iron, and you have in your religious activities become one that's calloused in your spirit. And nothing bothers you because the Bible said you've got past feeling. See, some folks can sit around the TV and they can see non-virtuous thing. Though we're commanded of God, if anything have any virtue in them, think on these kind of things. Yet they can read any kind of magazine. They can look at any kind of movie, any kind of billboard, talk about anything, laugh. They can dress any way, act any way, look any way, be any kind of thing in the world and participate in it. And they say it doesn't bother me. That's because you're dead. The Bible said they that live in trespasses and sin are dead while they live. And if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father isn't there. So it's very evident that the problem with you is that you need to be born again. Like I said about the excuse of not understanding. Say, well, I don't understand. The reason you don't understand is to this extent, because you are blind. If the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. And the reason you don't understand is because you have something on the inside of you that's warring. That thing that's in the flesh. Paul said, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin that's in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, he said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And so then, that thing that's warring against you for the flesh, to hold on to the body, the dispute is over the body. God wants it and Satan wants it. Both of them being a spirit, they want it to manifest themselves in that they might be partakers of these tangible things that are around us, as to that that's emanated from God, as to these things that surround us. God relates to them through the body. Satan relates to them through the body. Your spiritual being on the inside relates to them through the body. Without your body, you could not relate to them. All right, so then we see that even fallen angels that commit corruption, they relate to these things through the body. If they can get into you, they will commit fornication. They will commit adultery. They will lie. They will steal. They will cheat. They will swindle. If those spirits can get into you, they with their lasciviousness will take advantage of your body, of your flesh. And in this kind of thing, what they will do is use your body like a parasite on a fruit from a tree until all the life has gone out of it. And then when you go to wither up and die before God, they go to another body. They don't want you any longer because they're looking for that life. See, you've got a certain amount of years that you are under the grace of God, and you're here, and that life is on the inside of you from your youth all the way over to the coming of the Lord Jesus. And during this period of time, God has given it to you that you might make adjustments, that you might conform to the way of God and the things of God, and that you might produce Christ in your life or give that body to Christ that he might speak through you to reach the rest of the world to save them from eternal doom and damnation. So God is after that body, but Satan is after that body that he might corrupt it, that he might live in it, that he might have the lasciviousness of life, turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, taking advantage of this time of grace. And then you find yourself all withered up at the end of the way. If you don't use this little span of life for God, then you're going to be sorry at the end of the way. But anyway, getting back to what we said, we don't need to use excuses. We need to call on God. We need to apply ourselves. We need to have a love for the truth. Folks, when we don't have a love for the truth, God will turn us over to reprobate mind. Sin, strong delusions cause us to believe a lie and be damned. Somebody said, well, he'll allow us to believe a lie. The Bible said he will sin strong delusions and cause you to believe a lie and be damned because you had not a love for the truth. And he said, I will pursue you until you perish from off of the face of the earth. I won't leave you alone. I'll pursue you until you perish from off of the face of the earth. All right, so then we see it's real strong when we start thinking about what God will do and what God has said and what God will bring to pass and what God has brought to pass, and then saying to you and I that you seeing others do these things and then you turn and do the same thing, how can you escape the damnation of hell, he said. All right, so then the thorns, they choke out the life. They choke out the life. Thorns, he said, and these are the cares of life. These are the people that get so carried away with their intellectual prestige and their self-esteem and their desire for monetary values in the world. These are they that don't want to remember Christ in the time of their youth. Well, the Bible said, remember thy creed in the days of thy youth, when the evil days draw not nigh, when you'll turn, look and say, I have no pleasure in those things. That is to say, folks, while you are in your youth, you are sowing. And then there's going to come the time of the reaping. And as the songwriter said, let us sow the righteous seeds for the reaping, which is coming to each and every one. Then we'll rejoice on that day when we hear the Savior say, come ye blessed, a crown ye have won. See, we must of necessity remember God while we have some strength. We don't want to wait till we get old and decrepit and can't do anything for God. And then we run to God, you know, and say, I love you, Jesus. I want to serve you. That's one of the most wretched people that ever lived. Now, if a person never comes to know God until they are well in their age, their old age, or when they have come to the end of their strength, and then they come to know God, that's wonderful in that they come to know God and they have just as much chance as anybody else. As a matter of fact, Jesus in his parable, he gave this concerning the parable when he gave every man a penny. He told us in the parable, I will give unto the last even as I give unto the first. When he started to reward them, though others had labored and endured as to bearing the heat of the day, yet these that came in the last hour, he said, start with the last even unto the first and give every man a penny. And when they that had borne the heat of the day came expecting more, he said, didst thou not agree with me for a penny? And he said, is thine heart evil because I am good? And that which is mine is to a sovereignty I reserve to myself to do what I will with my own righteousness and life. He said, I will give unto the last even as unto the first. So then, if you get in late, it doesn't matter. But folks, know about this and you won't get in and then expect to get as much as anybody else. You wait till the last minute and you're not going to get anything. Can't you just picture a woman like this? And of course, there's a guy that we've got a lot of them in our day. I've seen a lot of them like this in my lifetime. Maybe sometimes a man. But a woman in our day, she will be a harlot. She'll lose all of her virtues. She'll turn away from her husband. Even in her mind and in her spirit, she will lust after others. The Bible said to look on the opposite sex, to lust after them. You've committed adultery with them already in your heart. And today we're in an adulterous, sinful generation because they do that with a regularity. They have no control over their spirit. And the Bible said a man that has no control over his spirit is like a city with a broken down wall. The devil just comes in any time. He does whatever he wants to. But this woman, couldn't you picture her all of her life in her youth when she's desirable as to her companion? He loves her. He wants to love her, put his arms around her. He wants to caress her. He wants to have her affection. But she's too busy. She's too busy doing everything. She's concerned about this man and that man and everything in the world. And her spirit goes a-whoring after everything in the world now. Remember, that woman's either a type of the world or the church. She's a type of the bride of Satan, or she's a type of the bride of Christ Jesus. So she goes a-whoring after the world and everything in the world and everybody in the world. And the husband, he keeps working and trying to take care of her. And finally, when she becomes an old hag, an old barfly, when she looks like an old rag that's wrinkled up, you know, ready to be thrown away, that the dogs have been playing with. And finally, she knows that somebody's got to feed her belly until she dies and they throw her in a hole. And she's too decrepit to make her own living. And she comes down to the end of the way and she turns and she says, "Darling, I love you. Oh, you mean everything to me." I said, "The witch? That's exactly the way you look to God. When you come to God, you look like a witch." Paul said, "Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ evidently was set forth and crucified? Are you so foolish," he told the Galatians back there, "having begun in the spirit that you're now made perfect by the flesh?" God requires that the flesh conform to his way of life and that he fill your body of flesh and change that flesh to flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. So then, in these little exhortations tonight, I'm simply saying, wouldn't that be a horrible thing? And yet that happens with a regularity. Wouldn't that be a horrible thing? Wouldn't it be much better? You, remembering the Creator in the days of your youth, giving God your strength, giving God your appearance, giving God your physique, giving God your intelligence, giving God your understanding, whatever it might be, while you're quick of understanding and fast in your mind and those kind of things, whereas the Bible said, "And the Spirit of God shall be upon you and make you a quick understanding." While you can go out into the mysteries of God, launch out into the deep, go up into the wonderful heavens and fathom the great heavens of God, comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length. Wouldn't it be wonderful to remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, and then you don't have to reap all these sorrows that come to you through life, but you reap the blessed things of God, and God sets you up on high, and God blesses you? Wouldn't it be wonderful to serve God and then meet God there when God will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, having been faithful over a few things. Now, I've made you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of the Lord thy God that has been prepared for thee from the foundation of the world." Wouldn't that be wonderful? Folks, let's don't be foolish. Let's serve God. Let's not play games by saying, "I don't understand," so we can carry on with our devilish doings, our devilish form of dressing, our worldly form of dressing, our devilish things in mind as to, because we don't want to come to holiness, we don't want to come to godliness, and we don't want to come to virtue. And the Bible said God has called us unto virtue, unto godliness. This is what he's called us unto. And because we don't want to submit, we don't want to conform, we don't want to be a real lady or a real gentleman as to our dress, as to our conversation, as to honor God and conform to the way of God, we say we don't understand. Let's don't ride a hobby horse of excuse and be sorry at the end of the way. All right, so then we see that God has called us unto virtue. That's our goal. And Paul said, "Let the lame be healed. Don't let it be turned aside. Go on with virtue. If anything have any virtue, anything be pure, anything be lovely, let your mind dwell on these kind of things. Make straight paths for yourself, that the lame be not turned aside, but rather let it be healed." So
When I say these things tonight, I'm simply going through a little parable, a little bit of the parable that Jesus spoke of. And then there came at last those seed that fell into good ground. He said some did not bring forth as much as others did. But he did say this. He said some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. He said, and for you and I, let us go on to the full measure of the full stature. Let us go on to the full reward. Let us go on to be perfect. Let us go on to bring fruit unto perfection, loving the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. For he said, it is a reasonable service. It's just reasonable for you to give your body a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto God. He said, that's a reasonable service, seeing what God went through for you. You love the Lord? Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, so the little parable was, and some fell into good ground, and they brought forth 30-fold, and some brought forth 60-fold, and some brought forth 100-fold. I trust tonight that you are good, fertile ground, good, fallow ground. We plowed the field real good, and we tried to burn out the briars. I've said this so many times as a little boy plowing the field with my old two-horse plow. Didn't have a tractor, was a real poor boy. But we made a big crop because we worked hard, worked long hours, get up early before daybreak. Worked hard. But the one thing that we would do, we would harrow the grounds. We would break up the ground, run the snakes out of them, run them out many times, the weasels. Pulverize the ground with a harrow, drag all of the stuff out that was interwoven with it, get rid of all that entanglement. We'd pile it up and burn it on the terraces. We would take the blade, the long blade, like the Father Time thing you see, and thrust in the sickle, and we'd cut down all of that was bushes and thorns and whatever along the terrace, and then we'd pile it up, and my granddad, he'd stick fire to it, and we'd watch it burn. Snakes and weasels and bugs, everything would get out of there, and then we'd plant a beautiful, beautiful field. You remember how I told you when I was a little boy about a certain place, we had a great plantation. And my granddaddy wanted me to plow a little place for a garden, and I plowed this little break. I plowed it around and did the best I could, and I set that thing on fire, and I was going to burn the middle of it out. And all of a sudden, it jumped from that little place, and the whole plantation burned. I mean, the whole plantation, miles of forests and fields and everything was burning. And at night, I'd stand on the back porch of this great big old mansion-type house, and I'd look out across the back, you know, down through the woods, and for miles you could see this flame leaping up in the darkness, and for miles and miles, rangers couldn't put it out, nobody couldn't put it out, it burned, and I think, my God, if they ever find out, I'm ruined, because I was just a boy. I thought, I'm ruined for sure if they ever find that out. Of course, they never did find it out. I never did tell them, but they finally, it jumped the creek. Anything that it got to, it just went right on over, and it went on until it burned itself out. It took days to do it. And finally it went out. But you know what, folks? When that fire finished its course, there wasn't no snakes and there wasn't no bugs and there wasn't no nothing. And we got out there. You're talking about a crop. But I mean, we had a beautiful crop. And even as a little boy, I had a vision. And in this vision, I looked, and out in our fields, I didn't know the hand of the Lord was on me, but out in our fields, out there where we labored together, I with the black man or whoever, we had servants around there, and I looked out in the fields, and coming down out of heaven, I saw like a covey of birds that just come down like this, landing in the field, like hundreds and hundreds of angels landing in the field out there. You know, harvest time, harvest time. And I thought, my, since I got older and understood that thing and the fire and those different kind of things, I thought, God, one of these days you're going to renovate like that vision I had where I looked and the heavens and these things spinning around like them fans. And it went all over the world and the fire and brimstone and everything was burned up and we was protected from that. And then all of a sudden there came in the beautiful millennium and a people that was to occupy the great, wonderful millennium of God. And folks, not saying any more about it tonight, but we're getting closer and closer and closer. I hope this little bit of talk tonight as just a little bit of exhortation to you might help you to understand the parabolic speech of Jesus in this parable, and that you can fit yourself into wherever you belong.
Can you fit yourself in there, into that picture? Somewhere in that picture, he took in all humanity, and you and I belong somewhere in that parable as to one of those places. So tonight, fit yourself into that place, and let's try to work our way over to the good ground in the event that we don't already fit in there. Let's stand together. I appreciate you coming out tonight and talking to you just a little bit about the wonderful things of God. Sharing with you a little bit of what we understand. And I didn't feel that we should call our services off tonight. I felt that we should have service here tonight. So Betty and I, we caught the plane, left out early so we could return and get back. And I see some of them coming in now, different ones coming in. Some of them got started a little later than others. Brother Taylor, he got back in. Sister Linda got back fairly early. And for which I'm grateful. I'm also grateful that Brother David made his confession tonight. Them people with talents that you can't hardly get up here, he kept confessing tonight. Made me feel better about it. And it's wonderful to know that you love the Lord, that I love the Lord, and that we're working together for the wonderful things of Christ. As I said to the people over yonder in Olive Branch, Mississippi, at Cedar View, I really miss David Paul when he's not with me because he works with me in our evangelist crusades around the world, and he's very needful, and he has encouraged my heart. All right. Isn't it good to be a Christian? Well, I don't know of anything else I want to be outside being a Christian. Having been in the mysteries of God for many years, in the wonderful, deep, deep mysteries of God, it's so wonderful to be a Christian. My heart is filled up and overflowing, and my heart is enlarged to you, and many hundreds and thousands of things I'd like to say. But we can only say a little bit as tonight. If you be spiritual, if you pray for the spirit of revelation, Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as spirituals. Jesus had many things to say unto us, but we're dull of hearing. But if we can come into the wonderful things of God is to be spiritual, then the great, wonderful Spirit, the mighty Holy Ghost, even the Spirit of Christ, even the Spirit of truth, the world cannot receive because they see him not. He shall be in you and lead you and guide you into all truth and all righteousness of God and bring you the revelation or revelate to your mind the great, mighty things of God. Even the deep things. And the Bible said, the Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things. And Paul said, and I write unto you that you might understand my understanding in the mysteries of God. And these great, wonderful mysteries, he said, great is the mystery of godliness. And we can have these wonderful mysteries where he said, it's given unto you to know the mysteries. Unto them that are without, it is not given unto them to know, but unto you it is given to know the mysteries of Jesus Christ. Can we sing a little chorus together? Let's sing this little chorus. I don't think I've ever sung it here, but Brother Taylor usually picks it up pretty fast. It's just a little chorus, and we don't have much volume here to singing, but it doesn't matter. You can sing with me. You can make a lot of noise out there. I believe in making a noise. How many of you believe in making a noise? Bible said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise. God likes noise. He just don't like the wrong kind of noise. I've had a lot of troubles and trials in my little lifespan. When the way seems long and the battle gets rough, I'm holding to the master's hand. One more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley that I gotta go through, leaving this world behind. Can you sing that? One more battle with the devil, and I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to the nail-scarred hands. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to the nail-scarred hands. You love the Lord? Let's sing another little chorus. Can you? I love him. Can you sing it with me? I love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing it with me again now. I love him. Do you love him? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. All right, while we sing, the altars are open. You come to the altar tonight, and we'll pray for you. Let's sing this little chorus, Bo Taylor. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Sing it again now. Just come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing like this now. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord, I need thee. Sing that with me, can you? Every hour I need thee, and I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. so don't turn him away, for he has come back to your heart once again. So let Jesus sin to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear his loving voice, and don't turn him away. Let's lift our hands up to the Lord and let's sing this little chorus together. And I will praise him, my heart will praise him. Praise that Lamb for sinners slain. We'll give him glory, all ye people, for his blood has washed away every stain. One more time together now. And I will pray. You know, while we're singing this chorus, let's remember Rob's dad. He's supposed to come in from California. He's supposed to get about midnight, is it, Rob? He's coming in about midnight. And is he driving through? He's driving through. Let's pray that God will protect him on the way and help him. And you'll really enjoy the fellowship of his dad. He's a very fine man. How do you appreciate our family being here with us? Rob, and also the other families from California, the different ones from Colorado, different places from where they come from around the world. Aren't you glad that they're here with us? That we're going to be with eternally and forever. I said the other night, I know that we are with our families as to father, mother, brothers, sisters, daughters, all these kind of things, sons. We're with them for a few years, but folks, that's very, very little bit of time. But this God family is your real family. When the others are dead, gone, passed on, you're going to be with these people as your brothers and sisters eternally. The family of God's going to be together eternally. And this, of course, is what I want to do. I want to abide within the vine. I want to be with the family. Jesus said, and who is my family? Who is my father? Who is my mother? These that do the will of my Father. As to them that are the fathers in the gospel, them that are the mothers in Israel, and though Jesus didn't use the term father, in that we have but one Father, the Heavenly Father, but yet my mother, my brothers, my sisters, as somebody says, I have a family, Brother Pike, and I've heard them say this so often, this is my flesh and blood, and they'll get right indignant with you. You know, said, this is my flesh and blood. Bless God, this is my dad. This is my brother. This is my sister. But you know, I can't say that because I'm dead to that family. I'm dead to that family. Like Jesus said, they that do the will of my Father, this is my family. And I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And I've got royal blood flowing through my veins. And that is my family. And that's the family that I belong to. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So then, this is the family that I belong to. I'm flesh and blood of that family. That is my flesh and blood. Hallelujah. Once again, let's sing together. I will praise him. I will praise him. Can you lift your hands up to God? Can you close your eyes with him? Praise the Lamb for sinners slain, and I'll give him glory, all ye people.
For his blood has washed away every stain.
One more time.
So we will praise him.
Think on it now. Think about your family, the family of God, like the song that we wrote, the family of God. Think about it. You're going to spend eternity with the family of God. If you can get your dad in, your mother in, if you can get your brother in and your sister in, if you can get your loved ones in, that's wonderful. And then they that you enjoy here in this world as your family will be with you throughout eternity. But if they fail to come, one day there'll be no more remembrance of them. They'll fade away and forever be gone. You'll never remember them anymore. But this wonderful God family will be eternally, and from now on, your wonderful, wonderful brothers and sisters. One more time together, Brother Taylor.
So I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain.
Sing that with me now.
Let us give him glory, all ye people, for his blood has washed away every stain.
With your hands lifted up, with your eyes closed, but ask Brother Willie, if you will, to come dismiss us in a word of prayer tonight. Brother Willie, some of them's coming back from over yonder. They're beginning to come in now. Some of them didn't know we was going to have service. We didn't get a chance to tell them. Only these that were local, we had a chance to tell them about 4 or 5 o'clock. And we're glad for those that are here with us tonight. Lift your hands up. Close your eyes. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. See if you're in the faith tonight. If you're not in the faith, then you need to get born again. You need to be in the faith. For see, faith is believing God's word, hearing the word and believing the word, and your faith is told by your deeds. So then when you believe the word and practice the word, you will practice the word if you believe the word. And if you believe the word, you will practice the word. So then, show me your faith tonight without your works, and I'll show you my believing by what I practice. For a man practices what he believes. If he believes in making money, he practices making money. If he believes in hunting and fishing, he does that. If he believes in bowling and frolicking in the world, he does that. If he believes in fighting and conniving and drinking, he does that. If you believe in loving God, if you believe in God, if you have faith in God, you'll practice that and you'll be about your Father's business. And this is what I believe in, and this is what I do, because this is what I believe in. My whole life is illuminated with him. My whole life is centered around the word of God. I don't have any desire for anything else in the world, just to love Jesus and to do what Jesus wants me to do, to be about my Father's business. And folks, let me say this in closing tonight. You know, we are the stars of heaven. Did you know that? Stars of heaven are only a type of you and I. Movie stars in Hollywood are only a type of you and I. The great celebrities of the world, as to billionaires and the great men that fill the offices of this world as dignitaries, are only typical. They're a type of you and I. And this is the greatest drama that life can afford. And Jesus opened the curtain on the last stages of this wonderful drama of life. And whatever you do in this great drama, that's what you're going to be throughout eternity. Listen at me now. We're not making believe. We're telling you how it is. The movie stars, there's some great movie stars. There's some that's not so great. There's some that's not so great as those that are not so great. And so it is that in succession, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, there are some mighty actors that have become fabulous and famous as to worldly admiration, lots of money, famous, fill the halls of fame. And they're only a type. That means that there's 30-fold and there's 60-fold, depending on the good ground, depending on your zeal for God, depending on what you want to do is to go into a full measure for full reward. As to what you're going to be in the drama of life, the role that you're going to play, and what you're going to be throughout eternity as the admiration of the angels and all of creation ever since the world started. And the Bible said, in they that have turned many to righteousness shall shine as the brightness of the noonday. And so then it's to the glory that fills you, as to the understanding that you come to, as this wonderful illumination of God, as to the role you play, as to what you are in God's sight, as to this episode of life. So you will be throughout eternity. If you're willing to give up all of your life, the Bible said to lose your life in this world is to gain it with God, then you can have the fullness of God and go on to perfection. And the Bible said, everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. No man shall be above his master, but everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. And let us go on to perfection. And he that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me, even as I overcome and sat down in the throne with my Father. And so then we see this wonderful thing taking place. This great, mighty, wonderful thing is taking place. Where are you tonight? Are you one of the stars that are bright and brilliant? Great and mighty Jesus was that great star that was so much brighter than all the others that when he came forth, even the wise men knew that the Son of God had been born the King of stars. So tonight, what are you in the Lord Jesus? Are you applying yourself? Do you have a reservation of heart to try to hold back a little bit on God? Then that means that you dwarfed yourself in God. If you've got to hold on to a little bit of the world out there, that means that you're just a little less in God what you could be. Folks, let's love him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. Our neighbors, ourselves. Let's love him and let's give ourselves wholly unto God and be about our Father's business, that we can be one of the great, mighty ones of God. None greater than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John.